Blog Talk Radio.
Take a lickin'. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, the stuff you need out there. We give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Tuesday, January 22nd, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping, you guessed it, backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com. Where you can follow us on Twitter, like about 5,500 others, and become a fan on Facebook, like 53,000 others. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers.
Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I want to send a, at the beginning of the show here, send a shout out to everybody in the awesome, awesome live chat room. We've got Andreas tuning in all the way from Norway. Yep, you heard that right, Norway. We got Christmas Chick down in Florida, Critter Lover, I think Paducah, Kentucky, is that right? East Dallas Dave, guess where he's from. Many guests in the chat room today, welcome. We're glad you can tune in today. We've got Karen, we've got Ken, we've got Linda, we've got Paul, we got Poet's Wife up there near, or just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and we've got Ron from West Point, Georgia, all tuning in, and many, many guests. So send a shout-out to you guys, all the other folks that can listen live and are listening live but can't get into the chat room because your work denies it. I feel sorry for you, but, yeah, we have a good time in the chat room, but I know you're out there listening live, many of you, so thank you very much. Everybody that listens to the archive of the show, thousands of you, iTunes.com, Zoom.com, Podcast.com, thanks for tuning into the podcast. All the over-the-road truck drivers that listen to the show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, keep the rubber on the road. We thank you for what you do, and we appreciate your comments. All the homeschoolers that listen to the show and incorporate the show with their curriculum on a regular basis, we appreciate you for tuning in. And, of course, the feed and seed stores all across this great nation that stream this radio show live for their customers every day, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank you for doing that. First off, we had a great show yesterday. I want to update you because it was going to be Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. We talked about that yesterday on the show, and he's caught a cold. He got a cold, he feels, when he was back in the hospital when he had his suspected TIA. So he's got that cold. He battled through that when he was up at the poultry show over the weekend up in Massachusetts. So he's going to take really this week to recuperate. He was already recuperating, and then he had felt obligated to go to that show. He had already committed, so he went to that, and then, of course, he's got the cold on top of that. So he's taking the week off to relax and recuperate. He's got some appointments, some follow-up appointments, both from when he was in the ER a couple of weeks ago and with this cold. So keep your thoughts and prayers with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. So we wish him all the best. Kicking it off today, I want to respond to a post over on our Facebook page from Kitty. She may be in the chat room, actually. She may be listening live. So let me get over here. She had posted something on our Facebook page, Kitty Smart. Big fan and listener of the show, getting ready to have some chickens for the first time this year. And she won a brooder kit from critter-cages.com, and she had posted this. Hello, Chicken Whisperer. Just wanted to say I got my brooder kit. Thank you. However, I'm a bit confused. There were no instructions, and it came with a heat lamp. I thought you advised against them. Are they okay for chicks? Just not in a coop? Sorry to sound so clueless, but I guess this being my first time raising chicks, I am. Just wanted to do it right. Appreciate you. All righty, Kitty, let me just kind of cover everything you've said there. I will say most everything that comes in the brooder kit is pretty much self-explanatory. I believe it comes with the waterer, the feeder, the cardboard corral that you set up that makes kind of the fort for the brooder, or the corral that stands up about 10 inches tall or so. And make a big circle with that, like a dog pen, if you will. That's where your chickens actually roam around. You've got the water and the feeder that go along with it, and I do believe it comes with a heat lamp with a bulb and a controller, a dimmer on it as well. So it's a pretty nice one from what I understand. So let me explain. Baby chicks need supplemental heat. There's a difference there. Most adult chickens anywhere in the United States do not need supplemental heat. Okay, because you see me, you know, every year for the last 5 years, I've posted normally starting around September and throughout the winter about all these coop fires that occur and how they're unnecessary because it is unnecessary to have a heat lamp in your coop for the adult chickens. Okay, that's the key. I was even over at the USDA Biosecurity for Birds website yesterday, seeing if they've posted any kind of updates regarding our webinar coming up on the last day of February. And as soon as you go to their website, there's a little video that plays and talking about prepping your birds for winter. And even the poultry scientist that is in that video states that heat is not necessary anywhere in North America, in the United States, because they can adapt. It's very good. It was a very good video regarding it. A little bit more kinder than what I normally post regarding chickens that have been around for, well, they've been domesticated for about 6,000 years, and we've only had electricity for about 125 years, and the chickens seem to be doing just fine. So just keeping it in perspective, you know, when you go outside in the morning and it's negative 32 below zero, what do you see? You see little birds flying around looking for food and water, and I can guarantee you those little birds don't have a heat lamp up in the tree. So, and we can go on and on and on and on and on about if you give them heat and then the power goes out and they're not acclimated, things like that. So, the bottom line, Kitty, is that yes, baby chicks do need a heat source. Now, if you're letting a broody mama take care of the hatch chick, say out in the coop, even if it is 10 degrees, broody mama knows what to do. She's known what to do for the last 6,000 years, and she's going to take care of those baby chicks just fine. So if you're letting broody mama take care of those baby chicks, like out in nature, she's going to do her job. However, if you order chicks, if you hatch the chicks out, you don't have broody mama, you just order chicks, you picked up some baby chicks, they will need some supplemental heat from you. Their caretaker, you're acting like a broody mama for them. So we will never, I mean, it's bottom line, I've told Tractor Supply this and all the feed and seed stores and USDA. It's like, look, we will never, and our job is not to talk people out of things, it's just try to educate them, is that we will never talk people out of using heat lamps, whether it be in their coop because they feel like, oh, I'll sleep better at night knowing my chickens are toasty warm. You can't argue with that kind of mentality, so I don't try to. My issue is to educate them, to let them know their chickens out there, their adult chickens, don't need the heat. If you want to give it to them, you're dealing with the risk there, okay? But they physically, biologically do not need it, like the baby chicks. So that's the key with the coop fires versus using a heat lamp. You're never going to talk people out of using a heat lamp. They're basically tried and true, if you will, for since they've been invented, and they're $12. So it's cheap heat, basically. So you're not going to talk people out of doing that. You may have some folks that'll kind of maybe say wise up and say, okay, I don't want the risk here. I saw that report where an entire home was burnt to the ground because they were brooding chicks in the spring in their house with a heat lamp, and their entire $150,000 home burnt to the ground. It's all ashes now. So there are alternatives. For example, Brensea Products, Brensea.com, has an EcoGlow 20, and I believe it's an EcoGlow 40, maybe it's an EcoGlow 50, that is a brooder heater. It doesn't necessarily heat with light. It doesn't heat with like a bulb. Go take a look at it. It is a safer alternative to using the heat lamps, even in the brooder. Okay, and it's designed for a brooder. Okay, so yes, I'm not a fan of heat lamps in the brooder. I've used my share. If you do choose to use a heat lamp, whether it be in the coop or in a brooder, you want to do whatever you can to have backup after backup after backup to make that thing safe. Clamp it to the brooder and then duct tape it to the brooder and then chain it to the rafters and then screw it down with screws. You're going to staple it, whatever. So you have 15 things that have to fail in order for that to cause a fire. That's the key there, okay? But if you choose to do something a little safer than the heat lamp, especially when your $150,000 home may depend on it, and your life, if you can't get out in time, then it's going to cost you a little money, sure, like the EcoGlow 20 or the EcoGlow 50. And then there's the Sweeter Heater, and you can go and visit them online at Sweeter Heater, sweet like candy, sweeterheater.com. And you can take a look at those that are an infrared type of heat. I've got a couple here at the homestead. I can plug it in. I can touch that heating element, the cover of that. It's totally self-contained with my bare hand, and I don't get burned. And so those are safer and approved for the brooder as well. So there's a couple of alternatives for heat lamps for your brooder, because again, those chicks will need supplemental heat, and that is the Sweeter Heater, sweeterheater.com, and the Brency.com, the EcoGlow 50. Okay, so take a look at those if you're concerned about the heat lamp for your brooders. But now, the again, to answer your question, the coops, your adult birds, anywhere in the lower 48, including Alaska. We hear from people in Alaska. It got down to negative 53. I don't have heater in my coop. My chickens are thriving. So that's the difference there, Kitty. Just wanted to explain that to you. Request there on our Facebook page. So I wanted to be the first to and it looks like Christmas Chick in the chat room says that she has two Brency chick heaters, EcoGlow, so very, very, very good. So, yeah, say it. Not, you know, if you're going to clamp something like the heat lamp, clamp it, screw it, duct tape it, chain it, weld it, solder it. So every, like, yeah, three or, you know, 10, 9, 18 things. 18 things that have to fail in order, and the biggest problem is that the chickens run into it, they flap into it, they run into it, they hit it while they're flying up to the roost, it falls into those dry shavings, that heat lamp is super, super hot, the bulb, and it causes the fire from landing in the shavings most all cases. But regardless, whether it's regardless of the problem regarding your heat lamp and why it causes the fire or how it causes fire, totally unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. Again, chickens have been around for domesticated for over 6,000 years. We've had electricity in America for, what, 120 years? I don't know how close I am there. Chickens have been doing just fine. Okay. I guarantee you George Washington didn't have electricity in his chicken coop. Okay. Didn't have a heater in his chicken coop. Okay. And his chickens did just fine. Okay. So I wanted to answer that first and foremost from our Facebook page. Thank you for posting your questions there. I do try to get to them when I can. So today I was going to talk a little bit about, if the heat lamp doesn't fall, is it going to start a fire just by hanging in a brooder? More than likely not, Andreas from Norway. Like I said, I think you can utilize heat lamps safely. Am I going out on a limb here? But you got to take those precautions because it is a fire hazard. So if you take those precautions, like I said, clamp it and then duct tape it and then screw it down and then staple it and then also have a backup chain hanging from one of the rafters. So nine things have to fail for that thing to actually fall or catch fire. Okay, there's always that risk. But there's a risk getting in your car and driving down the road, right? So, just do what you can. As a paramedic, there were risks, and I had to use the tools to me. Masks, gloves, gowns, booties on the feet, hairnet, things like that. There were risks, but you have the tools to help you deal with those risks. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So just wanted to answer Kitty's question regarding that. Let's talk a little bit about laws today. Probably aren't going to solve any problems or solve the world's problems in today's episode, but a lot of you have heard a lot of these stories before, specific stories about specific towns that I've been to. We'll start basically talking about my case that started it all with me probably well over a decade ago and how that kind of started, and in some other towns that I have assisted with getting chickens legal for you. So we'll start. Let me first say, as we start this, okay, that in many cases, okay, you will not, bottom line, change somebody's mind about backyard chickens. In many cases, their mind is already made up. And I've told people this many a times, regardless of what your beliefs are, gets the point across. the good Lord Almighty could come down from heaven to that city council meeting, bless backyard chickens, tell the councilmen that they will have no problems with backyard chickens, and then ascend back up into heaven, and guess what? Three will still vote no. Okay, that is just the bottom line regarding that. Okay, some people are just going to vote no. Their mind is made up, regardless of what proof you show them, regardless of what stories you show, what articles you give, what part of the Constitution you show, whatever. They will vote no, no matter what. And so, we've talked about that before. One specific case, in, for example, Dunwoody, Georgia, where you know they. You say, okay, or any, regardless of what you're trying to pass, you deem who is going to vote no, no matter what happens. Good Lord comes down and blesses backyard chickens. You're still going to have, out of the six, a two that are going to vote no, no matter what. You maybe have one that's sitting on the fence. For example, in Dunwoody, there was a young lady that said her theory was that you can only have four dogs in the city, so why should I allow you to have six chickens if I can only have four dogs? That was her her argument. She said, I'd be willing to vote for chickens. I'd vote yes to get this passed if it was just four instead of six. And so you're like, okay, go ahead and take it. Okay, if you can get her on board, if she claims she will vote yes for this new change for four and not six, take it. Go ahead and take it. And in many cases, that's the case. Take what you can get. If it's two, take two. Okay, because here's the theory behind that. Once it passes, say 4-2 on the vote, and they become legal, even if it's just four, and you want two dozen, okay? You can then go back. Yeah, it'll take some extra time again in a year or two, but in a year or two, you can go back to that same city council, and you can use their own information against them. You can do an open records request for how many complaints in the last 2 years were filed for chickens, and then you can also get one for dogs and cats and loud music and cars up on blocks and things like that. And then you can actually go back to the city council and use their own information against them. Say, now tell me why you don't want me to have six when your own information here clearly states that in the last 2 years, you've only had six complaints about chickens. And guess what? Four of those were roosters. They're not allowed anyway, so you had some people breaking the law, not the law-abiding citizens, okay? So you had six complaints for chickens, but you had 4,000 complaints about dogs, 3,000 complaints about cats, and 1,400 complaints about cars up on blocks in the front yard. So you don't seem to be doing anything about the dogs or the cats or the cars up on blocks or this, that, or the other, but yet you don't want me to have eight chickens when your own information, your own records show that they have not been the problem you thought they were going to be 2 years ago. So again, take what you can get at the time. Work with the council, find out who's no, and don't even waste your time with them. Find out who's on the fence. Find out who's a yes. Use them to help educate the others on the council. And yes, you may have somebody. This is just plain politics. Well, Jim, he always votes like John. Jim and John, they vote the same all the time. Go back and look at their records. So if you can get John to vote yes, then more than likely you'll have Jim to vote yes, because Jim always votes like John, regardless whether it's right or wrong or he believes it or not. So you'll have some cases like that as well. So it's just basically playing politics at that point. But the first point there, get what you can get, and then go back and use their own information against them. Works every time. We had a city councilman in Dunwoody, Georgia, that claimed that he's received hundreds of emails from people who were against backyard chickens. Most of the information showed that more people were for against backyard chickens than were against. So the group there who were leading that lead did an opens records request for his emails. And they found out that he had received more positive emails about chickens than negative emails about chickens. And then he had to answer to that based on claiming, well, I've had more people contact me and email me. Well, we had to change a story. Well, you know, what you took that out of context. What I really meant to say was, you know, when I'm at the golf club, when I'm at meetings, when I'm at my wine club, you know, more people come up to me and say they're against this. But he had to answer to that because they got an opens records request for his emails once he claimed I've received hundreds of emails from people against it, and he hadn't. So how about that? Interesting. Okay, let's go back to start off. Probably not the best thing to do, but my wife and I got chickens before we checked to see if they were legal in our county. At the time, we were not living in a city. We became a city because the portion of the county we were living in, the people there voted to become a city. So initially, when all this started, we lived in the county, unincorporated Fulton County. Okay. We got our chickens before we even looked to see if they were illegal, and so that was the wrong thing to do, but we lucked out. Very soon after we got our chickens, there were no complaints. I just wanted to see if they were legal or not. We did find out that where we lived, chickens were absolutely legal in unincorporated Fulton County. Even up there in the Alpharetta and now Johns Creek area, if you weren't in one of those little cities up there, the city pockets, then they were legal. You could have up to 25 chickens as long as they were 25 feet away from, no, excuse me, 75. You could have up to 75 chickens as long as they were 25 feet away from a neighbor's occupied dwelling. So not their woodshed, not their playhouse, but a neighbor's occupied dwelling. The chickens had to be kept 25 feet away from a neighbor's occupied dwelling, and you could have 75. So, hey, we were golden, no problem. And then I found out we could have goats, too. We got a couple of miniature goats. This was over about a decade ago or so, and so we got a couple of miniature goats as well. Found out that they only had to be 75 feet away from a neighbor's occupied dwelling. Okay? So we were golden. There was no issue there. Okay? And we had chickens approximately 2 years before the Homeowners Association, we'll get into that, came a knocking. Okay, I remember this very vividly. I was cooking supper, and the doorbell rang. Jen got the doorbell. She opened the door, and she didn't really recognize the people. There were two people from the Homeowners Association. She knew them, but didn't recognize them. We had been visiting different churches at the time, she thought maybe there were people coming by to visit from a church we had visited, so she let them right into the foyer area, and then they started talking about chickens, and they weren't allowed, and we had to get rid of them and stuff like that. And of course, Jen says, Andy. So I turn the burners off, and I head over there, and I see what they want. They said, well, you know, we found out that you had chickens, and you're not allowed to have them. You're going to have to get rid of them, blah, 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 blah. So no. Hang here for a minute. And I went back to the file cabinet, got all the information from not only where I found that they were legal, but contacted people down at Fulton County, had their names, had their phone numbers, had the faxes from them with all the information saying that I could have chickens. And so they tried to immediately make it into, even though Fulton County allowed it, they said, well, we'll have to look into that. And we could, here, you can have this stuff if you want to. You won't have to look into it. But there's all the laws right here, right in your face. So, but they said, oh, it's the Homeowners Association, the covenants. And so I had to argue with them and tell them that the covenants were non-binding, that they were not an official homeowners association. I then sent them because you can't just put up no trespassing signs, and that's, and at least I had to research that too. They can come on your property, and then once you notify them by certified mail, then if they come on your property, then it's considered criminal trespass. So I sent them the certified letters, criminal trespass, come back on my property again, we'll have you arrested for criminal trespass. The signs are posted. But I had to send that letter certified to the HOA so they couldn't come back on my property legally. So I had to keep those certified copies of the certified letters to them. But I told them that their homeowner association was not legally binding, that the covenants were written by a contractor, let me see your articles of incorporation, and they didn't keep that up because that cost money, and our HOA didn't have no money. It was the dues were not mandatory. When you went to close on a house, there was nothing mentioned, nothing said, nothing in the contract about homeowners association or dues you had to pay. It was strictly voluntary if you wanted to pay those dues or not, which then made that homeowners association non-binding. in our case anyway. And so we had to explain that to them, show me the articles of incorporation. And then also in the covenants, it said basically good forever. And you can't have something that's good forever. You have to continually, every 5 years, every 10 years, vote to approve the covenants. You can't just say, oh, we built the subdivision, I'm the contractor, here's some covenants I put together, and they're good forever. No, doesn't work like that either. So we blew that out of the water. So we were golden with the county because they were always legal. And then the Homeowners Association, not legal and binding, so they ended up having to leave us alone. So everything was fine there. No big deal. Once the people in the area voted to become a city, which is now the city of Johns Creek, Georgia, which happens to be the wealthiest city in the state of Georgia, okay? And they were reminded of that the night what was his name? Burkhalter, who was a state representative for the area, who during the inauguration of the city stood up and said, about made me vomit, I would like to welcome you to the most prestigious city in the state of Georgia. Barf. Okay. So people up there thinking that they could spend the money more wisely from there than the county could, and wanted to spend money on what they wanted to spend their money on, decided to become a city. So it became a city. Well, they thought now that we were a city, they could complain to Johns Creek, and then Johns Creek could come out and throw the strong arm around. But no. I talked with the city of Johns Creek, and they basically, if it was legal before we became a city, then you're grandfathered in, even if we changed the laws, which they did. So, yes, we were legal. Now, if you were illegal in a city, doing something illegal, then they could you're not grandfathered in by doing something illegal. So since we were doing something legal when they became a city, we were grandfathered in. They could not do anything, even though they went and basically took the Fulton County laws regarding backyard chickens, goats, horses, pigs, and things like that. And literally, it's very obvious, they just whited out the number and then put in their own number. They're like, oh, chickens in Johns Creek? Well, we can't have this. We're better than that. We can't have chickens in Johns Creek. Oh, my gosh. So they, I think they made it 100 feet from the neighbor's occupied dwelling instead of 25, which they know would eliminate most people in their city from keeping backyard chickens. It was by design. They knew what they were doing. Because now they can say, oh, we're not anti-chicken. You can keep chickens in Johns Creek. No problems. We allow chickens in Johns Creek. You just have to abide by these particular guidelines, which they wrote and changed knowing that the majority of people in the city couldn't keep chickens. It was by design. They're not fooling anybody. So that was interesting. So bye-bye, Johns Creek. Get off my property. Go away. Thank you. I'm legal. So got that done and taken care of. Very interesting. Then they changed the laws. So when they started finding other people in Johns Creek with chickens, they had to also prove that they had chickens before they became a city and they were doing it legally and da-da-da-da-da. So there you go. That was Johns Creek. Very interesting there regarding our own story in fighting the law. The next one that I had a hand in was successful was Gulfport, Florida. Gulfport, Florida. And they were having a big battle. Somebody reached out to me down there. We gave them ideas and some assistance there. I contacted the council. It was actually mentioned in one of the council meetings where chickens were approved. I sent them an autographed copy of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution where I was on the front page about Atlanta's Chicken Whisperer, telling them that, hey, this is a huge movement. It can be done responsibly. This is what it's all about, this, that, and the other. And so they had mentioned in the meeting, one of the councilmen says, there's even a chicken whisperer, and there's a movement all across the country, and it's just a matter of educating them. Guess what? Chickens are now allowed in Gulfport, Florida. Regarding that. So that was interesting. And then, of course, there was issues in Vermont, there's some out in Texas, and more folks started to contact me about getting the laws changed. And let me just kind of tell you some of the things that we've run into going into these towns and cities, some of the things that you're going to get with opposition. Now, since I mentioned HOAs, let me just cover that because that can be done pretty quickly. I am not an attorney. I don't pretend to be an attorney. I'm no attorney, no lawyer. I'm just sharing you experiences I've had with places across the country. Okay, here's an example. Homeowners Association. I've noticed that, and check, some are written darn tootin' good, in my opinion, and they know I mean, it is written. No birds, no fowl, no chickens, no livestock, no this, no that. I mean, it's written. The lawyer who wrote some of these HOA covenants must have dealt with farm animals or chickens or fowl or ducks and geese and livestock before, because they are written in stone. You're just going to have to get them changed and voted to get them changed. But some are written really piss poor. You may have a contractor that is developing a subdivision, and he just writes a few covenants up saying, covenants. So this subdivision is covered by covenants, just to attract some people to come in and move in. And it's basically was written by the contractor, and very vague. Like some we've seen, it says household pets only. Well, you and I both know that chickens can be considered household pets. So read those very, very carefully how it works. There was one conflicting rules in HOAs as well, and even in city laws. I know with Tracy Okroy up in Virginia Beach, still continually trying to help her, and there were conflicting. She sent me all the laws and ordinances, and I was looking through them, and I said, Tracy, have you seen this? There's conflicting ordinances here about backyard chickens, and I can't put my finger on it now exactly what they said, but one basically said any pet can be considered a household pet, I guess even an elephant if you wanted to. But then in another section, because you need to look at zoning, and then you need to look at animal control or nuisances. Sometimes you'll find them both. For example, Johns Creek, when they changed the law to 100 feet, there was a young lady there who had 100 feet. She had an extra lot behind her house. So when she built her coop, and the coop was 114 feet away from the neighbor's occupied dwelling. Okay, and she had three special needs kids. She was newly divorced, and she was trying to fight the best she could. She ended up giving up and getting rid of her coop. But that was an interesting fight, because they came on her property, the animal control. Zone enforcement, and basically said that you're not allowed to have chickens, and you've got chickens. Your neighbor complained. And she says, well, what was the complaint? That you have chickens. It wasn't noise. It wasn't stink. It wasn't smell. It wasn't loud. It wasn't anything. The complaint was, she has chickens, because she was maintaining them properly and responsibly. And I've heard that many, many times. The complaint wasn't any bad complaint of nuisance. It was just, they have chickens. That was the complaint. Not that it was a bad thing, noise or smell or anything else. So she basically tried to go to court a couple of times, and they just, again, used that big government strong arm, you can't fight City Hall, things like that. Now, there were a couple of things I wish she would have done, her and her attorney. One was the conflicting laws were, one said chickens had to be 100 feet from, remember it used to be 25, 100 feet from neighbor's occupied dwelling. Well, she met that one fine. They couldn't argue that one. But there was another one that stated, here we go, folks, it's crazy. Agricultural buildings had to be 200 feet away from any property line, even your own, okay? Agricultural buildings, okay? So they were considering her pet chicken coop an agricultural building. So I really wanted her to do two things. One was challenge the definition of agriculture. Contact the state Department of Agriculture here in Georgia, get the true definition of agriculture, which in most cases means for profit, commercial. You know, you have a dog. A dog is a farm animal, always has been, always will be, but been domesticated. Now we have farm animals inside like a dog, cat. Okay. So is dog still considered agricultural animal? Okay. So they tried to, regarding that pet chicken coop in the backyard as an agricultural building that had to be, again, trying to enforce one of two ordinances they had. If you can't get you on this one, we'll get you on this one. But challenge the term, is my pet chicken coop an agricultural building? Dogs are farm animals, so is a doghouse an agricultural building? If so, then how many thousands of people have doghouses in their backyard now that are non-compliant? Okay, so that leads me to the next thing I wanted them to do. If she chose to turn her chicken coop, and it was a nice one, beautiful custom-built chicken coop, if she were to turn that into a tool shed put some shovels in there, maybe a wheelbarrow, some fertilizer, things like that. Turn it into a tool shed. This is no longer a chicken coop. It is my tool shed. Okay. And she had a dog. She had a bird dog. Then she puts, two or three dog houses in her backyard for her dog. Okay? And that's her story, and she's sticking to it. Put three or four dog houses in your backyard, large breed plastic dog houses. You have a dog. Say, hey, this is, dog houses for my dog. Take shelter. You can't help it if your chickens happen to go in there and lay their eggs or roost on top in the summer or roost inside the doghouse in the winter. Okay, what are they going to do? Are they going to call a doghouse an agricultural building? What are they going to do? She gave up too soon, in my opinion. But again, three special needs kids and newly divorced. She just she couldn't take it. There's no way. I can't blame her for that. So, but I wanted her to argue the definition of agriculture. And then I wanted her to put dog houses in her backyard, one or two, maybe three, tell them that they were for her dog. And she'd still have her chickens, and her chickens are still 100 feet away from any neighbor's occupied dwelling. See if they would call a dog house an agricultural building, because then you could do selective enforcement. Well, what about these other 1,000 people that have dog houses in their backyard? If it's an agricultural building, have they gotten letters from you guys telling them they're going to have to get rid of their doghouse because it's an agricultural building? Now, here's the key. I heard off the record from the attorney that the city manager said, we'll call two pieces of wood and a tarp an agricultural building if we have to. Do you see the mentality there, folks? If they don't want chickens in their town, you're not going to get chickens in their town. And we saw this ugliness in the city of Johns Creek. We'll call two pieces of wood and a tarp an agricultural building if we have to, just to not have chickens. So even if she would have fought the definition of agriculture and blew that out of the water, agricultural building, she could have done that, and then that would have eliminated them being able to use that even for a doghouse or even calling two tarps and a piece of wood a agricultural building just to keep chickens out of prestigious Johns Creek. Okay, so that's the issue. Now, so that was another case in Johns Creek that could have been fought a little bit harder, but there were some other underlying circumstances with that case where she just couldn't follow through, based on that. So that was one interesting case we had to deal with. Now, when you start organizing and get your local group, there's power in numbers. Tracy O'Corroy in Virginia is learning that when three people show up wearing yellow, that's three people they see. And they're like, all this time and effort to change this for three people? Yes, there is power in numbers. When you fill up that city council meeting with people wearing yellow shirts, yellow hats, it says something. It speaks monuments to them instead of just one or two people. It really, really does. So if you can get the numbers, if you can get the mass people to show up, squeaky wheel gets the grease. You've heard that many a times, but that's more than just, in this case, three people showing up at every meeting and speaking. Okay. If everybody's allowed 3 minutes to talk and you have 50 people in there that are going to talk for 3 minutes, what is that, 150 minutes, 2 hours that they're going to hear chicken-related topic for the next every single month? They're going to get really tired of that. What can we do? And meanwhile, you can be educating them about the great benefits of backyard poultry, other towns that keep backyard poultry, articles that show that even towns themselves have said publicly that none of these problems we thought we were going to have occurred since we allowed backyard chickens. Pretty crazy. But when you get and you start showing up, you'll have people showing up, and really, even though they all want backyard chickens, their arguments are all a little different. Okay, you'll have the green folks coming in to argue for backyard chickens because they may want the fresh food. I want the fresh food from my backyard. Think about all the inhumane treatment of the chickens. All this stuff that goes into the chickens and the chicken feed. I want organic chickens. I want my eggs to be organic. I want fresh fruit. Wholesome for my family. So you'll have those folks showing up, and their battle is, yes, we want chickens, but their issue is the wholesome food. You'll have others that will come, and they may want the fertilizer and the pet and the insect control. They want chickens because they're great pets. They are great pets. They're therapeutic to watch. They make me, you know, fertilizer for my garden and all these great things. So you may have those people that show up, okay? And they're fighting for pet chickens, not just the fresh eggs, okay? You'll have some people, a group of people, fight, and they'll come up there, and they're all about, don't tread on me, property rights. This is my property. I should be able to do what I want to on my property, whether it's chickens or goats or cows or rebuilding motorcycle engines or whatever the case may be, property rights. Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm all about property rights, too. I have a copy of the Constitution. I carry with me just about all the time. When I go to jury duty, I carry the jury duties responsibilities little booklet, and I even pass it out to other people. A juror is so probably one of the most powerful people in the world, okay, when they go to jury duty, because if they feel the law that person broke is not constitutional, they can challenge the law that he has been charged with breaking. It's crazy. So I hand out all these things. So going in there and saying property rights this, property rights that, waving the Constitution and saying property rights, property rights, property rights isn't going to get you very far either. I have never seen two things. Petitions, okay? Is it a tool? Sure, you can use that tool. We've got 4,000 people signed here that they say they would like to have chickens, or they have no problems with you allowing chickens in this town. Is it a tool? Great. Will it let them know that, hey, there's 4,000 people that can't attend the meeting tonight and fill the chambers up, but they have signed saying that they have no problems allowing chickens in this town? So it can be a tool, but I've never, ever seen or heard a case where the petition changed the mind of anybody sitting up there on council. Okay. Yes, when you have 50 people show up, you can say, hey, these are just the 50 people that can show up wearing yellow. Others, they couldn't get sitters. Others are working, making a living, trying to pay their taxes, to pay your salary, so they can't be here. But here's 4,000 other people, your constituents, that have signed this petition. So, petition one way or the other. Never seen it really help, but it's surely not going to hurt, and it may make that one single point that these are 4,000 people that can't show up tonight, because they have jobs or kids or soccer or what have you, but they picture 4,000 people in this room. Here are their signatures, okay, regarding that. So that, and then jumping up and down, saying, getting up there and talking about property rights, my property, I pay taxes on my property, I should be able to do what I want to on my property, the Constitution says I can do this on my property. It's never won a case that I know of. That I've been involved with anyway, that I've seen actually win. So just standing there, jumping up and down, throwing the Constitution in their face, saying property rights, yeah, shaking your fist, I've never seen that be successful either. So it's that's an issue where you'll have a lot of folks come to a meeting and fight for backyard chickens, and they all have a little bit different of reasons why they're there, whether it be property rights or fresh eggs or where their food comes from or pets or fertilizer or whatever the case may be regarding that. But no one has any more leverage than the other. So it's just one of those are the folks a lot of times you'll see that'll show up at the meetings. One of the best groups I've ever been involved with as far as sitting down, planning, great tactical response was two groups up in Nashville. UCAN, I believe it's Urban Chicken Advocates of Nashville, and the Nashville Backyard Poultry Meetup Group. And they tried to get chickens legalized there well over 2 years ago, and it didn't fly, no pun intended. And then for 2 years, they worked very, very hard, tooth and nail. Again, playing the politics, finding out who was for, who was. And let me tell you, Nashville is a unique place. They have, I think it was 24 city council. I mean, it was like going up to Washington, D.C. When you go into the city council chambers there, it looks like, oh, my gosh, is this Washington, D.C.? All the fancy desks, all the leather chairs, huge place, 24. Okay. So, but they did an absolutely fabulous job. It was, you know, people will contact me and say, oh, I just got the notice on my door that says I have to get rid of my chickens. Can you help me? I really don't want to get rid of them. What can I do? And what, you've got 30 days, 2 weeks? and people actually think that in 2 weeks they can get this law changed where they can keep their chickens in 2 weeks or 30 days. I refer them over to Nashville, where it took well over 2 years, because they tried before, and then they really worked hard for 2 years, and they did a fabulous job. They made a cookbook, and they gave it to all the council members. They gave the council members practically at every meeting different factual information for them to read through. One meeting I attended, they gave every single council member, I believe it was the cookbook, and a package of yellow Peeps. You know, that you get kind of around Easter time, those little marshmallow Peeps. I mean, it was really, really cool. It was really neat. But they really knew what they were doing. It wasn't the strong arm. It wasn't waving the Constitution. It wasn't yelling property rights. It was a slow political process of what they did of trying to get it passed up there in Nashville. And it was very, very interesting, but it took 2 years. So I share that with folks who just, oh, you know, I got chickens and I knew they were legal, but I got them anyway. And so now I've got my you know, someone complained and now I've got this ticket. What can I do to keep my chickens? Well, you know, you've got 2 weeks, probably nothing. You've got 30 days, probably nothing. So a lot of folks think that can just be done overnight, where in Nashville it took well over 2 years. So that was very interesting. Some of the comments you might get, which is very interesting. I had a young lady walk up to me and say, well, what do you do with all the chicken poop? And, I said, well, some people put it in their gardens. Some people put it in their compost bins. Some people, you know, spread it in their flower beds. Some people in their chicken coop, ma'am, may have a very sandy soil, and they may use their chicken coop like a litter box, for example, for cats. And they may actually scoop up the chicken poop and then put it in the garbage, you know. And she looked at me, and her eyes got really big, and she gasped, and she went, oh, you're putting chicken coop in the municipal garbage system? And so I was like, I did the same thing she did. My eyes got really big. I gasped for air and I went, ma'am, what did you do with your daughter's poop for the first 3 years she was in diapers? And I gasped, oh, you put human poop in the municipal garbage system? Oh, my. And she realized her stupidity there and how that just kind of blew her argument out of the water. She turned around and walked away. But, yeah, someone asked me that thought it was bad to put chicken poop in the municipal garbage system, but yet it's okay to put your daughter's human poop in the garbage system for how many, you know, 3 years that they're in diapers. That was a good one. I had a person come up to me, a gentleman, and said, what happens if a chicken? What if you walk outside and you got a dead chicken? What do you do with that dead chicken? Well, what if you walk outside and you have your cat died or your dog died? Okay? You can bury it with a chicken. You know, you can put it in your compost bin. Believe it or not, you can bury it. You can take it and have it, you know, cremated, or you know, take it and to an animal or a pet cemetery, I guess, if you wanted to. Or you can grab it by the foot, drop it in a garbage bag, and take it to the street. And he was like, you put a dead chicken in the garbage? I said, sir, what did you do with the rotisserie chicken you didn't finish last night from the grocery store? Guess what? You put that in the garbage, didn't you? Yeah, what's the difference, sir? You know, and he kind of got flabbergasted and was kind of realized that his argument was moot. It's like, what do you think millions of people do with the turkey carcass after Thanksgiving when they're done with it? Guess what? It goes in the garbage bag and it's sitting on the street. Same thing with the little chicken over here that just happened to die in my backyard just because it was a pet chicken. We put it in the garbage possibly and take it to the street. That is a possibility. Well, I was down under the Georgia Gold Dome, Georgia Capitol, when they were trying to pass a state law regarding backyard chickens, backyard gardens, backyard rabbits. And they had a young lady that represented, it was some title like, I represent the Homeowners Association. So basically all these homeowners associations belong to a association that fights for, I guess, their rights to do whatever they want. And she was there and she spoke for the committee that was there about property values and how backyard chickens will reduce property values and blah, 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 blah. After the meeting was over, she was on her way out. I approached her. I walked up to her. I explained to her again who I was. And I asked her, I said, from your speech you just made, do you have any factual information on any of that? Can you share with me one case, one factual case, where somebody received less for their house because a neighbor kept backyard chickens, or because the town or city they were selling their house in allowed backyard chickens? Can you just present me right now with one case that would back up what you just said with proof? Show me the proof. No, I do not. Oh, so what you just said up there to all this committee is just hearsay, you made it up, the Wizard of Oz, La La Land. She got livid and walked away, but it was a good point, you know. And that's sometimes that's your best tool is show me the proof. With this property value issue that comes up all the time, show me where anywhere on the planet, show me where one person selling their house got less for their house because a neighbor had backyard chickens. Or the town they were selling their house and allowed backyard chickens. Show me the proof. It has never been given to me in over 5 years of fighting this full time. Never, ever been presented. So it basically has people just shut up and sit down about that. They won't mention property values anymore once you actually challenge them on that. And it doesn't matter. Realtors, I love you realtors, but you're a waste of time when it comes to fighting for backyard poultry. Why are you a waste of time? Because I can go out there in about 15 minutes and find a realtor who is personally against backyard chickens and have them come and fight for the opposition and say, I've been a realtor for 9,000 years, and I've sold over $9 billion worth of real estate. And I can tell you, in my professional realtor opinion, that chickens are a bad idea. They will reduce property values, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and that same 15 minutes, I can go find a pro-chicken realtor to come on board and also speak to council and say, well, I've been a realtor for 10,000 years, and I've sold $10 million worth of property, and I can tell you that I have a lot of customers that are into backyard chickens and sustainability, and I have never seen or sold a house. In fact, I sold a house, and they were very pleased that I had a chicken, so it's a wash. Whether it be a realtor for or against, it's a wash, waste of time. Don't even worry about it because you can get one on both sides. Just like a specialist in anything, you can have one for this and one for that, and it's basically a wash. Big deal. Okay. Regarding the realtors, regarding that. So other things that you'll be questioned about, not only just the property values, but the rodents. Oh, well, chickens cause rodents and all kinds of critters. No, Dr. McCrae, PhD, has even written on this that, no, chickens themselves do not attract mice and rodents. Okay, a chicken waterer, a chicken feeder, maybe some chicken feces may attract some mice, rats, and rodents. Just like that bird feeder in your backyard. So one of the things I was working with down in Brevard County, down there, Brevard County, Florida, and get this, this is another thing, it's crazy, by design, I'm sure, in Brevard County, their city council meetings, or their county commissioner meetings, are at 9 a.m. Now tell me who can attend a county commissioner meeting at 9 a.m. You have jobs. You have kids going to school. You're sitting in traffic trying to get to your job to make money to support yourself, to pay your taxes, to pay their salaries. So is that by design? Let's have our county commissioner meetings at 9 a.m. because guess what? Nobody will be able to show up, which means no one can challenge anything that we do or say here. So, hey, I think it's a great plan. Let's have them at 9 a.m. because nobody can attend because they're out working. How about that? When I went down there to speak at Brevard County, I was like, okay, we'll be there sometime early afternoon, mid-afternoon for the meeting at 7 p.m. They're like, no, the meeting's at 9 a.m. 9 a.m.? Who can attend that meeting? Aha, nobody. And that's their plan. So, hey, we can get away with this. No one's going to be here at 9 a.m. to fight us, so or to hear what we're doing with their money. So very interesting on that one down there in Brevard County. Since then, I believe now chickens are allowed in Brevard County. So regarding that case, so congratulations down there in Brevard. Let me see here. Oh, the mice and rats thing. Okay, many letters that I'll write to the city council member, and I did this in Brevard too. They talked about mice and rats and rodents, and I'm like, if you're so concerned about mice and rodents in your city, maybe you ought to look at banning wild bird feeders, council members. In fact, let's do that next meeting. I'll propose it. If you're so darn concerned about mice and rodents in your town, let's look at banning wild bird feeders, because those attract far many more rodents, squirrels, mice, rats, and anything else than anything else in your city. All the bird feed that falls on the ground and it's up in the bird feeder and all of that. Okay? If you're so concerned about that, okay, the few people that are going to have chicken feeders in their backyard, and you're concerned about the hundreds of wild bird feeders in your yard, it's a moot point. Okay? Not to mention, you know, next meeting, council, let's go ahead and ban potted plants.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, potted plants. How many potted plants do you have on your back patio? Maybe on your front porch. We need to ban them. What are you talking about? Well, guess what? That's a water source. That potted plant on your backyard is a water source for mice and rats. So if you're so concerned about mice and rats, well, by golly, next meeting, we need to ban wild bird feeders. And guess what? We need to ban potted plants. If you're so darn concerned about that, if that's really what's holding you up about banning or allowing backyard chickens, then maybe we need to ban wild bird feeders, and let's go ahead and we'll ban potted plants as well, if you're so concerned about that. Okay? And then just, you know, kind of educate them on that fact and see what they say. Really? You really think a few chickens in the county is going to be a big deal about that? Interesting. You're not concerned about the wild bird feeders? Okay, moving on. They talk about smell. Chicken smell. False statement. Ask any scientist. Chicken, pick up a chicken. Smell it. Does that chicken really smell? No, not in most cases. Okay. Their poop might smell. Okay. Just like dog poop, cat poop, gerbil poop, goldfish poop, and even human poop. Are you banning humans from your city? Maybe you ought to. Humans can stink. Dogs stink too. Cats stink. You ever smelled a cat? You ever walked into a house that had lots of indoor cats? Have you smelled that? When they pee on the carpet behind the couch? And that pee gets down in the padding? Cats stink. Okay? Or cat waste stinks. Okay? So this issue of chickens stinking, yeah, cats, dogs, gerbils, rabbits, chinchillas, goldfish, lizards, and people, humans. Humans can stink. Maybe we ought to look at banning humans. You got to put it in perspective for them. Sometimes you have to make it sound so utterly stupid that it just rings their bell to where they're like, oh, yeah, he's got a point there. Okay. Now, a little tip for you. As soon as they allow people to speak, if it's public forum, as soon as they allow to people to speak, if you can go first, whenever I go out and help folks and I have the opportunity to speak at city council meetings, as soon, you know, sometimes it's just walk up to the microphone and whoever's there first gets to speak first. Sometimes they call your name. Sometimes it's based on we're hearing for pro-chicken people first and anti-chicken people second, or sometimes it's just open mic. Just run up there. If I have the choice, I want to go first, because with my 3 to 5 minute speech, basically debunking all these myths, rumors, and stereotypes about keeping backyard poultry, then you may have, say, a half a dozen people on the opposition side sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to talk about mice and rats. Okay, well, if I debunk that, he's probably not going to get up and stand and say that. Property values. We already talked about property values. Okay, someone's sitting there saying, well, I'm going to stand up and talk about, I'm concerned about property values. And then if I go first and I debunk that, show me the proof. Anywhere in America, there's never been a case ever. Why are we going to talk about something that's never even occurred once in the history of the world? They're probably not going to stand up and complain about property values. So by me going first, reading my 2-page, 3 to 5 minute speech, debunking all the myths, rumors, and stereotypes, literally will limit the opposition from coming up there, at least a few of them. Well, I'm not going to talk about the bird flu because he just told me that the CDC's website specifically says that I don't need to get rid of my backyard chickens because of the concern of bird flu. So I'm not going to get up there and stand any. I don't have any proof. He's got the CDC on his side regarding backyard chickens. So a lot of times that will eliminate some people on the opposition side from standing up and voicing something that they were going to talk about that they know nothing about. I've never owned chickens. I've never had chickens. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about something that I learned as well. We went to a city council meeting, and I noticed that the majority of the council members were probably over 60 years of age. Many of them claimed they grew up on a farm, and I thought, hey, this might be good because they know the benefits of having fresh food from the backyard. They know how awesome chickens can be, so this may be good, but it ended up being not so good, and we'll tell you about that and how when you hear people say, well, I was born on a farm, or I was raised on a farm, and I can tell you chickens stink, or I was raised on a farm, and I can tell you that I had to stand out there with a shotgun just to fight the predators off. We'll tell you how we kind of solved that problem and made his requests and concerns moot right after this short break from our sponsor. Stay with us. We got some more great points about trying to fight City Hall here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Rush, but we'll return after this short break. Stay with us, folks.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust.
No matter how much we pamper our chickens, no matter how often we clean our coops, there is always that chance they will get mites and lice. If they do, you want to treat them as naturally as possible. Poultry Protector from Carefree Enzymes uses all-natural enzymes to eliminate the mites and lice from your coop, nesting boxes, and chickens with no egg withdrawal period. My chickens don't always have mites and lice, but when they do, I prefer Poultry Protector from CarefreeEnzymes.com. Happy flocking, my friends.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Okay, let's see who in the who's the first person in the chat room can tell me how many days, minutes, hours, and seconds left until Christmas. Alrighty, just had to throw it out there for Christmas Chick and the Christmas Chick in the chat room. Alrighty, you would think, having maybe a couple of members on the city council, well, I grew up on a farm, or I live on a farm, or hey, I remember growing up visiting my grandparents' farm, and, well, chickens stink, or, and I had to sit out there with the shotgun and keep the predators away. And okay, at first, when I started hearing this, I just wanted to stand up and say, if you were having those kind of problems, you were doing it wrong, sir. But you can't do that. You don't want to tick them off. You want to try to win them over. So just by standing up and saying, well, then, if you had those problems, I guess you were doing it wrong. Or you could say, well, back in 1930, that may be the only way you knew how to do it, but things have changed, and we know a little bit more about, keeping some backyard chickens now than we did then. It's kind of like, a Buick today in some aspects is better than a Buick 1930. I may not agree with that wholeheartedly myself, but wouldn't mind having a 1930 Buick. But the issue there is, I couldn't just stand up and say, "Well, you were doing it wrong." Okay, so you take each little piece that he was sharing with you, and you basically pick it apart. Say, "Okay, let's talk about your comment here, sir. First, you were raised on a farm." Or you lived on a farm, or you visited your grandparents' farm, okay? We're not talking about a farm, okay? We're talking about 6 to 8 pet chickens in a backyard in a beautiful coop maintained properly. Now, let's get on to that, maintained properly, okay? You said, how many chickens did you have on your farm or visiting your grandparents' farm? How many chickens? I don't know. We had a few hundred. Okay, that's a moot point. Everything you just said, sir, was a moot point because we're not talking about a farm. We're not talking about a few hundred chickens. We're talking about 6, okay? So, moot. Next point, you said you had to stand out there with a shotgun to keep the predators away. Yeah, I did. And then he names all these predators. Coyotes and possums and fox and... Okay, well, tell me about your grandparents' farm or the farm you grew up on. Did you have a run that the chickens were in, with a fence around it? Did that fence happen to be buried 18 inches deep? Did you have poultry netting over the area to keep the aerial predators away? No, they just roamed around the backyard and the back 40. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? We're not talking about having them roam around in the back 40. We're talking about keeping them contained in the backyard through a privacy fence or in the run in the backyard or in the coop with poultry net for predator protection. So not that you were doing it wrong, but we're not talking about free-range farm chickens. Okay? Ready for this one, folks? This is the God's honest truth. I had and this was public. You can probably go pull up the notes. Transcripts. I had a guy say, I'm against chickens, and I will always be against chickens, and I will always vote no against chickens, because when I was 12 years old,
instead of going to play ball with my friends on Saturday afternoon, my dad made me clean out the chicken coop. And so, because this man, maybe in his 70s, when he was 12, his daddy made him clean out the chicken coop every Saturday instead of play ball with his friends. So now he thinks because that occurred 60 years ago, you are not allowed to keep chickens in your backyard. That's the truth. I heard it as sure as I'm sitting here. So having people who maybe visited a farm, grew up on a farm, chickens stink. Sure, chickens stink. Yes, they do. How do you know that? Have you ever owned any chickens yourself? No. But I know chickens stink because when I drive through Gainesville, Georgia, and I go through all these, the chicken capital of the world in July, I can smell them. Well, are you sure you're smelling the chicken coops or the chicken processing centers or actually the chicken houses that contained 60,000 chickens? And there's multiple chicken houses there, so there may be up to several million chickens when you drive by, not six. Sir, have you ever owned just six chickens? That's it, six. Well, no. Have you ever owned chickens at all? No. Okay. So you're basing your statement on chicken stink primarily on driving through a rural area where millions of chickens are kept. With your windows down. That's it, right? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, everything you just said is moot because we're talking about six chickens, not 60,000. Thanks for playing. Please sit down now. Okay. Okay. Things that you see when you're traveling around fighting City Hall. Okay. Organization is very important. There's power in numbers. Three people sitting there at the meeting wearing yellow shirts may not do a lot. 300 may do a lot. Education. You have to understand, I could not tell you right now how to rebuild my Jeep straight six 4.0 liter engine. I could not even attempt to tell you how to do that. Okay, but I might say, well, engines stink, they're smelly, you know, you take them out of the car and they just sit there in your yard for years, you never get around to fixing them, so I'm anti-engine, okay, because I'm not educated on it. I hate the word ignorant because I don't know how to rebuild my Jeep engine. Does that make me ignorant? I don't think so. I just don't know. I haven't been taught how to. I don't know anything about rebuilding my Jeep engine. The folks sitting in those fancy leather chairs up there may not have never owned an animal themselves ever in their life, still don't, let alone a pet chicken or a backyard chicken. They have no clue. And your neighbors may be the same way. Let me tell you this. Used to, the census out there was, you know, I'm planning on getting a couple of pet chickens, maybe six or eight. I'm going to go ahead and talk to my neighbors about it. My neighbor on the left, my neighbor on the right, and my neighbor behind me. I'll go ask them as a courtesy. I want to be neighborly like. I'm going to ask them, hey, we're thinking about getting some pet chickens, six or seven for fresh eggs and all these great benefits. I just wanted to let you know and be a good neighbor, courtesy as a neighbor, blah, 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 blah. And they made right to your face say, oh, yeah, no problem. That sounds fine. It's okay. We won't have a problem with that. Knock yourself out. And you know what? Used to, I might recommend doing that. But I have heard a countless number of times that one of those very neighbors that you got permission from as a courtesy, that right to your face said, sure, I don't have a problem with that. No problem. That'll be fine. Thanks for stopping by and letting me know. One of those neighbors, countless many times, was the one that turned you in. They have chickens. right? So sharing eggs with them, hey, that can be a benefit, I guess. But many times, so many times that I now kind of recommend to people, just get the chickens, okay? And you know, I'm not advocating you break the law, but they're legal in your area. Get the chickens. I'm not saying, though, to consult with your neighbors, and not because I don't think it's the right thing to do. I've seen it backfire time and time again, where one of those three neighbors, yes, it's easier to beg for forgiveness than ask permission. That time, absolutely, Bard Rock. So many times, the very neighbor that you asked to your face said, no problem, that was the person that turned you in. And it may not have been a complaint that they stink, they smell, it's just they have chickens, period. So just kind of one of those things that I wanted to share with you there as well. There's one thing on the tip of my tongue that obviously just fell off the tip of my tongue because I was going to mention it too, and I forgot about it. But I was going to mention that too about the neighbors, the neighborly thing, particular case. So anyway, there is power in numbers. Oh, it's about education. I can't tell you how to rebuild my engine, but those city councilmen may have no. Oh, the neighbor thing. You may tell your neighbor that you're thinking about getting some chickens, and the first thing they think of is commercial chicken house, 300 feet long, 60,000 chickens. It stinks in the summertime when you drive by that rural area, and they're thinking, oh, my gosh, my property values are going to decrease, and it's going to smell around here, and it's going to be horrible. So just like you may have to educate your next-door neighbor, no, look, we're going to have a beautiful little coop. It's going to be like a little castle-like coop, and we're just have six or eight chickens, pets, eggs, fertilizer, compost, things like that. You may have to explain to them exactly, and they may still not even understand until they see the finished project. Okay. Same thing with the city council members. They may have no clue about the chicken movement, what it's all about, what you're talking about. They'll think four pieces of wood and a blue tarp will be your coop, and Lord have mercy, it's going to be ugly, and you know, all of that. And it's going to stink, it's going to smell, and we're going to have coyotes from all the surrounding counties come now to our city because you have chickens. And so it's just a matter of educating them on kind of the right way to do things and exactly what you're talking about and about the chicken movement. See if I can wrap up here with any last comments. Power in numbers. Organization is good. It all boils down to education. Now, I'm not saying, okay, and I will say this as a courtesy to a particular person in the chat room today. If all of this doesn't work, and you have to pull out the cards to use the strong arm, and basically go in there and say, look, I have a right to keep backyard chickens. I have a right to do what I want to on my own property. The Constitution guarantees me that right, and I'm doing it, period. Okay. You may have to resort to doing that. You may have to resort to being stern and telling them what you're going to do, not telling them what you would like to do and get permission to do it. Okay, I'm not totally against that. I know it's apparently has worked in West Point, Georgia, with one particular person, and I guess they decided to pick their battles and did not follow up with it. Maybe that was the case. I do not know. But I do know that you'll be in store, possibly, depending on how they want to get revenge or how they want to proceed, whether it be legally, that, you know, just be ready for a battle. And I know it's a little bit more than that, Ron, but basically, just in most cases, you might want to be prepared for a very expensive fight in a lot of cases. That's why a lot of people end up giving up, because in a lot of cases, it's going to end up hiring an attorney. Attorneys aren't cheap, and then you still may lose anyway. But as long as we're in our fifth year of broadcasting, and I don't have a scientific number of how many cities across America have changed their laws to allow backyard chickens in the last 5 years we've been broadcasting the show, I can tell you it's a lot. Now, you personally might not consider a city allowing you to keep three chickens a win, but I guarantee you
the 50 or 100 or hundreds of people that were not keeping chickens before that now can keep three, they consider it a win because now they are keeping three chickens. Regardless if you want to tell them they didn't win anything, regardless if you want to call them sheeple and say, oh, they could keep as many as they want if they just do it this way, the 50 or 100 or several hundred people in that city that fought to get the law changed as they felt they needed to do, now they can keep three chickens, they feel like it was a win, regardless of what you may want to call it. So, and then they can now go back in 2 years or 4 years or 1 year and say, hey, we'd like to have six. We want to know why you don't want us to have six, because your own information, okay, tells you and me that these chickens have not been a problem. You still have more problems with dogs and cats and cars up on blocks and campers in front yards than you have for chickens. So tell me honestly, using your own information, that shows you have had no problems with chickens since you allowed it. There's a great article from Longmont, Colorado. You can Google it right now. But Longmont has few problems with chickens or something to that nature. You will find it. It will come up on Google. And it's a great article that talks about the city of Longmont admitting that these problems that they thought and other people thought that would come to Longmont, Colorado, which is kind of an uppity town. I lived there for about a year. Okay, only time I ever lived outside of the state of Georgia was about 9 months when I lived in Longmont, Colorado, just outside of Boulder. Okay, and they admit, the county, the city themselves admitted, we have not seen the problems that everybody raved about that we would have by allowing backyard chickens. And now they have made it permanent versus just a study for a year or two. Okay, so that happens as well. Now, things that I do not see passing ever. Again, you can stand up and fight for these rights if you find that it's important to you. But in most all recent laws, when cities change their laws to allow backyard poultry, you will find two things missing. One will be roosters. Okay. Now, I will tell you, you don't hear this argument very much from the people sitting in the leather chairs, but if you go up there and start talking about, I want to live more sustainably, but you're willing to not have roosters, let me give you some news. You cannot live sustainably and not have roosters, because eventually your hens will stop laying and they can't have babies because there's no rooster. There's no repeat process. Once you're done, you're done. So, yes, you can get plenty of baby chicks everywhere. I understand that. But to say I want to live more sustainably, but I don't care to have a rooster, or roosters aren't allowed, and I'm willing to accept that, it's not an issue. It's moot. Okay? You can't live sustainably with your backyard chickens forever without a rooster. But in most cases, when they change the laws, roosters are not allowed. And people are willing to deal with that because they don't want a rooster. They don't want baby chicks running around. They don't want fertilized eggs. They don't want to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So they're willing to sacrifice the rooster for their backyard hens. Number two, and this truly I have a fundamental problem with, is that cities will sometimes disallow butchering of any kind on the property of those chickens. Now, when I was living up in Johns Creek for the 7-8 years, did I ever butcher any chickens up there? No. We just had hens. We had no roosters. Okay. We wanted the eggs, the compost, the fertilizer. So I had no problems really at that point. But fundamentally speaking, I don't like them to say you can, you know, yes, you can butcher in your garage. Yes, inside your house. Okay, if you choose to do that. But when they say no butchering of chickens, I just have a fundamental problem with that because I feel like they're trying to control my food source or a way that I can feed my family. Now that kind of chaps my hide regarding the property rights and the Constitution and how I choose to feed my family. Yet, in most cases, butchering is not allowed. Roosters are in the line. And I'll wrap up with this one more last thing. When you're looking at maybe composing an ordinance, please try to disregard the distance from property lines, because you'll run into so many problems. You will not make everybody happy. There'll be people living on weird shaped lots, small lots, corner lots, cul-de-sac lots. Not everybody will be able to keep chickens, and even if you draft the perfect ordinance, especially if you put in there so many different distance from a property line. And here's why. Okay, I was dealing with a couple who lived in Boston area, and their lot was 50 feet wide by, 200 feet long. And the ordinance there stated the chickens had to be, or chicken coop, had to be 25 feet away from any property line. They were between a rock and a hard place because their lot was only 50 feet wide. So even if their lot, ready for this, even if their lot was 4 miles long, it was only 50 feet wide. They could have literally put that coop 4 miles away from the closest home, but it still would have been 25 feet to the nearest property line because their lot was only 50 feet wide. Even though it was 4 miles long, and they could have put that 4 miles away, they couldn't do it. So I hate it when they start looking at distance from property line because of all the different shape lots that you'll find all over the world, all over the country. I would prefer, and we fight for, distance from an occupied dwelling because you could literally put that coop 600 feet away from the occupied dwelling, but it'd still be maybe 10 feet from the property line. So I'm not a big fan of property line rules and regulations because of that issue. Why not from the neighbor's occupied dwelling? That's where the people are. That's where their windows are open. That's where they're going to be having conversation, is around the immediate part of their occupied dwelling, not 300 feet in their backyard. So I prefer 25 feet away from the neighbor's dwelling. That's a good starting point if you're going to start. I think that's appropriate and fair. A lot of subdivisions can be fine with that. Chicken coop has to be 25 feet away from the neighbor's occupied dwelling, not your dwelling. If you want to put that coop right up against your house, so be it. But it still has to be 25 feet away from the neighbor's occupied dwelling, not a tool shed, not this, not that, not the other, but occupied dwelling, 25 feet, okay? So we talk about that quite a bit. No roosters, I understand. Most all of them don't want roosters at 4:30 in the morning getting woke up. The butchering issue, most of the time it's taken out, but fundamentally I disagree. You're controlling the way I feed my family. And then the property line issue, I'd much rather it be from the occupied dwelling than the property line all day long. Regarding writing the ordinance, I hate it, and not many do this, thank goodness. There's a few recently that have done it, but not many, thank goodness, and that is you have to get your neighbor's permission if you're going to keep chickens. I hate it. You do not have to get your neighbor's permission to pop out a bunch of kids or to actually drive a Harley or to have a dog or to have a cat or anything like that. So why are you discriminating against people that want to keep backyard chickens by getting neighbors' permission when you don't have to do with anything else in your entire city or your entire county or in your entire town, just chickens? Discrimination, my friends. Okay? Harley, kids, dogs, cats, don't have to get it. But with chickens, why do I have to get my neighbor's permission? Just one thing? So I'm not a big fan of that at all when you're kind of drafting ordinances regarding that. Square footage. Most of the time, it's 2 square foot per chicken inside, 4 square feet per chicken outside is kind of the routine recommended. Yes, the more room, the better, but they say at a minimum, you have to have 2 square feet per chicken inside the coop, 4 square feet chicken per chicken outside the coop in the run. Okay. You'll find that most times when you're looking at different ordinances across the country. So, regardless. Okay, folks, I got to wrap up. Jen has a doctor's appointment. We're going to be hitting the road here for that. And so, the issue is I just wanted to share with you, just kind of like town hall, just kind of hanging out and talking with you about some of the things I've seen regarding traveling the country and helping people via email, through phone call, through letter, talking with city council members, sitting right across from them in many cases. Up in Vermont, I was used as a mediator between the city council, the city, and the chicken keeper. It worked out to be great. I was very proud to be involved in that case up in Vermont, where people were actually calling me. So it's kind of one of those things. I tell the city council members, yes, I'm pro-chicken, but do not reinvent the wheel. You know, get off your high horse. Please call me. I've done this many a times. We can discuss it, okay? We can talk about developing this. I can talk about your fears, your concerns, and we can talk about this like regular folks. Don't be all high and mighty and be afraid to contact. Yeah, I'm pro-chicken, but I can help you. I helped in the past. Here's stories where I've helped folks. I've personally have helped city managers hold their hand through this process, and they thank me for it because they don't have to reinvent the wheel. Okay? So, nonetheless, I've got to run, folks. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed the radio show today, just sharing some experiences, some tips, and other things about keeping backyard chickens and how maybe you can get backyard chickens passed in your area. Maybe some tips that you didn't think about regarding going down that road of getting chickens passed in your area. Some of the ridiculous things you may be up against and things that you'll hear as you're trying to get chickens passed in your area. Yes, I'm available to help. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of phone calls. I can't get to them all the time, especially in a timely manner. I do what I can. I'll look at the I'll look at the case, look at this, look at the ordinance, maybe find a loophole here or there, try to help you out. Where I've seen this is one here, this is one there. You might have luck here, you might have luck there. But don't get all angry if I can't get in touch with you in a week or so. I'll do my best to get that done. So I hope y'all have a wonderful and blessed day. Yep, things to think about, and just things that I've seen traveling around the country. Just things I've experienced firsthand. These are things that actually happened, and that's pretty much it. I just wanted to share with you kind of what to expect and what I've seen work and not work and other things that I've experienced. That was it. Not an expert at anything. Just want to share with y'all some thoughts today. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you can tune in on a regular basis, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here where normally, other than today, I'm no expert at anything, where we bring on the experts to share their knowledge about backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and sustainable living right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you have a great day. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed day, everybody. Ha ha.